Our gospel for this All Saints Sunday is the gospel according to St. Matthew, the fifth chapter, beginning with the first verse. It is so fitting to have had that anthem this day on All Saints Sunday, and so fitting to have this gospel because both anthem and gospel lift up for us components of our Christian faith that are oftentimes very foreign to us, foreign in terms of how we actually live our lives. Today in the story that you heard Dan read, it's a story from the Bible, a true story about a woman named Ruth, a foreign woman who demonstrated godly characteristics and the kind of characteristics that God desires to embed in each of us. As you listen to this gospel for today that comes from a section of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount known as the Beatitudes, listen to those characteristics which Jesus lifts up for us, which are oftentimes foreign in the way in which we live our lives as Christians. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for because of righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." These are the words of Jesus for us this day. I invite you to please be seated. Jesus lifts up these words today for us, not because they are natural for us, but because they are characteristics of God. They are the kind of characteristics that God wants to embed within us. And today, as we take a look at a foreign woman's faith, if we're really honest, we have to confess that some of the components of our way of living, at least as God would design them, are foreign to the way in which we actually live our lives. So it's our hope and prayer this day that we might not only hear these words, but that these words might sink deep within our hearts. That God might work his transforming power through his transforming love, and by his grace and forgiveness might really continue the work that God has already begun in you and might continue to bring it to fruit. That we might, each and every one of us, be the people, the person that God desires for each and every one of us to be. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we oftentimes do know how to live in theory as Christians, but when we put it into practice, we oftentimes get it messed up. Lord, we thank you that when we get it messed up, each and every time we mess it up, you continue to come to us with your love, your grace, your forgiveness, your desire for us to be the people you created us to be. So as we reflect on the Beatitudes, as we reflect upon the life of Ruth and Boaz and Naomi, help us on this All Saints Sunday to be the people, the saints, transformed from sinners to saints, the saints that you desire for each and every one of us to be. Amen. So, how about those cubbies, huh? How about those cubs? Wow. That's awesome. You know, pastors will oftentimes do anything to get applause for a sermon. So 108 years. Wow. To use a cubby religious phrase, holy cow, right? Holy cow. Lots and lots of reasons to celebrate, right? And celebrate Chicago did. Some 5 million strong at that parade on Friday. Wow, holy cow. I'm sure that for many, that was as close to a religious experience as they've had in some time. And that may be reason for us to be glad, or it may be reason for us to be kind of sad if you think too much about it. No wonder downtown Chicago Christmas holiday decorations have the theme this year. You know the theme? Reasons to believe. That's the theme of the downtown Chicago decorations. Reasons to believe. And for Chicagoans this past week, they have discovered some reasons to believe. In fact, they've found, some of them, newfound faith. And some of them, faith rewarded. Which is actually a wonderful segue. Because today we're going to explore reasons to believe by looking at foreign faith in a seldom studied scripture story. Today we're going to explore the foreign faith, both the faith of a foreign woman and the foreign components, at least components, that seem so foreign in the way in which we actually live out our Christian faith. So to make sense of that, we're going to go take a look at this little known book of Ruth. It's the 8th book of the Old Testament. As we have been studying God's storybook, we've gone from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, voila, Ruth, book number 8. And of course, during this course of time, we have been studying stories and looking at themes from the first 7 books that we've looked at. Today, book 8, Ruth. It's a little book. It's only 4 chapters long. I would commend it to you this week as a great devotional reading. Why? Well, it's short, for one. You can break it up pretty easily and make it stretch for a week, and you'll get through it. It's a very manageable homework assignment. I commend it to you. You can do it. And also, because it has phenomenal examples of faith and faithfulness and very difficult situations. This is no easy faith. This is faith lived out in extremely difficult circumstances. And so we're going to take a look at this by taking a look at 3 major themes that you'll find. If you've been using the Exploring the Storybook as a companion guide to your Bible, you'll find these 3 themes. The first theme is lost and found. The second theme is making ends meet. The third theme is found by faith. So that we can embed those a little in our minds and hearts, would you repeat them with me? The first is lost and found, making ends meet, found by faith. Yeah, we're going to explore those. This book is primarily a story about a woman named Naomi. And it's about her transformation. If you follow the story from beginning to end, chapter 1 through chapter 4, it's her transformation from emptiness to happiness through the selfless, God-blessed acts of 2 people, Ruth and Boaz. So the 3 primary characters to go with our 3 themes are Ruth, Boaz, and Naomi. She moves from emptiness, does Naomi, she moves from emptiness to fullness and happiness. She moves from destitution to security and hope. Last night we had a sleep out Saturday event here. There was a cardboard city that was constructed in our parking lot. There were many people who were very, very grateful for the mild weather last night. It's about the warmest it's been for a sleep out Saturday at Good Shepherd. And there was no rain, there was no snow, there was really no frost either. It was a very, very mild evening, but they slept out all night. Why? To both empathize with those who don't have a choice, and throughout the city of Chicago, slept out because they had no other option, and to raise money to help care for the homeless. We had a person by the name of Megan who came and spoke to us at our event here at Good Shepherd. And Megan told her story. She'd been married for 14 years, very happily married. She and her husband had two sons, and apparently her husband had led a life of which she was not aware. One day, they came looking for him, did the authorities. And when he found out that they were looking for him, he fled to another country. He left her. She told the story about what had happened as they pursued him in another country, and she was left with her two sons. And through a whole series of events, she ultimately became homeless. And she got connected with an organization called Bridge Communities. And Bridge Communities helped to give her the qualifications, the abilities, so that she could get back to school and get her degree, so that she could get a job, and now ultimately so she could buy her own home. They helped her get back up on her feet. They didn't just provide shelter, they provided means for her to become the person God had created her to be in a most difficult situation. Couldn't help but think about Megan as I remembered the story of Naomi. And I know a lot of our people last night were at a Remember event last night. An event that helps support our ministry to Pine Ridge, South Dakota. Because a lot of those people are in a state of emptiness, and we're desiring to move them from emptiness to fullness. A lot of those people are in a state of destitution, and the goal is to move them to a place of hope and security. And it's a long, challenging journey to do that. So I couldn't help but think of those two situations that were happening in the life of Good Shepherd as I remembered the story of Naomi. The story begins, Naomi's story, in the very first chapter, begins with a drought, a famine in the land. Do you know how many Bible stories start with a famine? There's a lot of them, where a famine comes into play one way or another. And in that agrarian economy, it's a big deal. It was a big enough deal that Naomi and her husband had to flee from that country to the land of Moab, because Moab wasn't affected by the famine. So they went there with their two boys in order to find food so he could work and provide for his family. While he was there, he died. So Naomi is left without a husband. In the meantime, her two boys had married, so they now have wives. And then in the course of time, it's all captured in chapter 1. It's a fast-moving story. Didn't happen that quickly in their lives, but the boys die. And now she's left in that culture where if you didn't have a male figure in their culture to provide and protect, you were real vulnerable. In the meantime, she hears that back in Bethlehem, back in her hometown and her area, the famine is over, that crops are good once again. So Naomi sets out to head back for Bethlehem. In the meantime, she says to her daughters-in-law, who are from the land of Moab, Moab is part of their culture. That's where their families are. Those are the gods of Moab that they worship. She says, you go back to your families. Your families will protect you and provide for you. You go back and worship your gods. And she implores them to leave. One of them, through a lot of tears, eventually says, okay, she'll go back to her family. But the other, Ruth, says no. She has found in Naomi a faith to which she wants to cling. She's found in Naomi a relationship she wants to hang on to. Even though it means that she's going to be vulnerable, even though it means that there's no male figure to provide and protect, she wants to stick with Naomi and help and be with her. So in the midst of things that are lost, there's this incredible relationship that is found. And in the process, God is providing for them. Well, at the end of chapter 1, near the end of it, there's this incredible passage of Scripture. I just love it. It's powerful. It speaks to the heart of Ruth. So touched is Ruth by what Naomi has meant to her that these are the words Ruth says. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. What a profound statement of faith. Someone who had worshiped other gods finds in Naomi a source of strength from her God. But that's not the end of the story. No, that's not the end of the story. The dilemma continues. It's really one of those situations where something happens and you wake up in the morning and you wonder, did I really make that promise? Did I really make that commitment? Did the Cubbies really win the World Series? You wouldn't believe how many people I heard from who said, I went to sleep and I got up and I thought, was it real? Was it a dream? Well, Ruth did make that promise. And Ruth really did keep that promise. The Cubbies really did win the World Series. And Ruth kept the promise. And what that meant was an interesting dynamic. Because you see, she made a promise to the Naomi whose faith in God had really inspired something to her. But along the way, and isn't this how it is in our lives as well? Something had happened in Naomi. Even though she had a great God that she'd put her faith in, now because she'd lost her husband, because she'd lost both of her sons, she was bitter. Very, very, we can understand that, can't we? If this is not just a fairy tale, this is a real life situation. And what makes a real life situation real is if you put yourself in Naomi's spot. I mean, it's one thing if it happens to somebody else, right? That's kind of too bad. But if it's happening to you, it's a big deal. It was a big deal to Naomi. She'd lost her husband. She'd lost her two boys. And she'd sent one daughter-in-law away, and the other had stuck with her. So she had that. She gets back to Bethlehem, and her people greet her. The name Naomi means pleasant. She was no longer anything but pleasant. She said to him, call me Mara. Mara means bitter. Because that's what I am. I am bitter toward God. And my heart is filled with bitterness because God took away my husband and God took away my sons and I blame God. She was filled with bitterness. But God was working in Naomi in spite of her attitude. God continued to provide. And one of the ways in which God was providing was through the daughter-in-law, Ruth. Ruth went out to make ends meet. She went out to work gleaning in the fields. You know what that means? It means you follow the harvesters, and whatever the leftovers are, you pick up the scraps. That's what she's doing. Now, for Ruth to do that in that culture was very dangerous. She had no male protector. Anybody could have taken advantage of her. Anybody could have made sure that she didn't have what she needed as she gleaned. But Boaz comes along. It's another way that God is providing. Boaz comes along. He said, hey, what's the deal with that foreign woman, that Moabite in my field? What's she doing? And the people who knew the backstory filled him in and told him what was going on. He said, by the way, Boaz, I think you're related to her. In that culture, if you were related to a person who'd lost their spouse and you were the male, you had an obligation to take care of them. It was a real good reason. In fact, later on you'll see you have an obligation to marry that person. Now, I don't know if they covered this in the marriage retreat last night or not, but this would be a real good reason for you to hope and pray that your relatives marry well. Because if you're going to be responsible for that spouse, if anything happens to the male figure, you better hope they do really well, right? So anyway, Boaz finds out that she's related. He says to the workers, he says, okay, I want you to do this. First of all, make sure nobody harms her. protect her. Don't let anybody cause her any harm. And secondly, leave plenty of scraps behind. Leave lots of grain behind. Don't harvest it all. Make sure that she gets some of the bundles. Make it look accidental, but make sure she can provide. So she's feeding not only herself, she's feeding my relative Naomi. So make sure they're cared for. And so she does this unbeknownst to Ruth or Naomi. This is going on. Finally, someone clues Ruth in about what's going on. She tells Naomi, and Naomi says, okay, I'm pretty sure he's related to you. So here's the deal. No hanky-panky here, but here's the deal. What I want you to do, and this is part of their culture, I want you to go lay down where he sleeps. Lay at his feet, right by his feet. So you know it's not very romantic. You're laying by his feet, okay? And you take the cover off his feet, just his feet. And then if he puts his shawl over you, that's a marriage proposal. That's their culture. I don't know if anybody wants to sign up for that culture or not, but that's the way they did it back then. And so that happens. And then Boaz remembers. Remember, Boaz is a good person. He's a faithful person. He says, you know what? I'd love to marry Ruth, but I'm pretty sure there's another relative who's even closer, more closely related than I am. So he goes to that person and says, hey, here's the deal. I'd love to marry her. I'd like to have her become part of my family. But here's the deal. You're next in line. So you get first crack at this, okay? So if you do this, and he sees Ruth, and apparently she must have been attractive because he says, oh, yeah, that looks good. So he says, oh, but before you make a commitment, though, remember that if you do marry her, just remember that she then stands to inherit all of your wealth if anything happens to you or your family. He thinks again, well, maybe I didn't love her that much, you know. So he backs out of the deal because his property is more important to him than Ruth is. And Boaz then proposes to Ruth. She becomes his wife. And then I love what's happening. So Boaz made sure that he provided not only for Ruth, but for Naomi, and everybody lives happily ever after, sort of. And then here's how they tell it in Ruth Chapter 4. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons... That's high praise, huh? Better than seven sons has, or maybe it's not high praise, I don't know, has given him birth. And then the genealogy is that they give birth to a baby who gives birth to a baby who becomes David. And David's lineage gives birth to Jesus. And so in all of this, this whole lost and found situation, this whole making ends meet, this whole found by faith, God has been working behind the scenes in situations that to us seem not so great. Kind of reminds me of the story that Harley shared at Friday Folders. He had this great devotion where he's talking about this little girl who loved her mom's cooking. And I don't know what lesson mom was trying to teach, but she wanted a piece of cake. But to help her understand the importance of the ingredients that went into a cake, she said, well, here, have some cooking oil. And the little daughter said, yuck, I don't want cooking oil. She said, okay, here, have some raw eggs. Yuck, I don't want raw eggs. Okay, then have some flour. She said, oh, yuck, I don't want flour, I want cake. And mom showed her that all of these yucky ingredients, when put into the cake in the right proportion, and the right ingredients can make a delicious cake. There are so many episodes in our life that seem so distasteful to us that just are plain yucky. It was really yucky for Naomi to lose her husband. It was really yucky for her to lose her two sons. And yet God was working through all of that. God provided. God provided a way for King David to be born and baby Jesus to be born and for Naomi's and Ruth's lives to be made whole once again. In all of that, we hear a story of the incredible faith that God placed within Ruth that actually transformed Naomi's life. We hear about the results of what happened when a servant of God named Boaz was faithful and fulfilled his obligations because he trusted in God, and it helped transform Naomi's life. We recently went on a mission trip to Honduras. One of the neat things about Good Shepherd is that we do all these mission trips. Some 7 of them this past year. And on any one of those trips, you could ask the same question. And one of the questions that we asked was, do you love God more? Do you love God more than all the other stuff in life? And how does it play itself out? So I ask you this question today. In the midst of all that you are experiencing in life, do you love Jesus more? So let that theme speak to you as you watch this video. Incredible things as she cared for Naomi. And Naomi's life was transformed by the faith of a faithful kinsman named Boaz. God desires to use each of us with the faith he's given us to be a transforming power in our world. God desires for each and every one of you to be found by faith so that you can more than make ends meet. So then in those areas of your life where you feel lost, God will find you with his love and his forgiveness. Will you have faith like Ruth? Will you be as faithful as Boaz? Will your life be transformed like Naomi? Will you love Jesus more? Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we thank you on this All Saints Sunday for your storyboard, which has brought us to the book of Ruth. We thank you for the faithfulness of Boaz and the faith of Ruth and the way in which it did transform Naomi's life back to the God she had known before. And it was always there. Lord, help us this day, this All Saints Sunday, to be touched by your love and to ask ourselves, will we love Jesus more? In your name we pray. Amen.